want more? Come on. How many are wanting some more? So I want, no matter what it is, how many are wanting more? If you're wanting more, God says, open the door. And if you open the door, he will open his door. Amen? And he'll pour out you blessings where there won't be room to bear. Amen? So in the time that we're in right now, this is a trying time in the world. Amen? Nobody is denying that this isn't a testing and it isn't a trying time. But God assures us that he will carry us and he will sustain us in and through it when we trust in him. Hallelujah. We're not trusting in man. We're trusting in God. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. So in James chapter 5, verse 7, writer James, brother Jesus, reminds us, he says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it until we receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and you have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But where I want to focus today is verse number 8, where he says, be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The title of this morning's message is At the Door. The three things I want to share with you today is the patience, the persistence, and the prosperity. Amen? So let's lift the word and let's come into agreement here today. Would you lift your word with me? Can you repeat after me? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God's word says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord. My ears are open. And my heart is receptive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for your word. And we're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish something in every heart and every life. Father, I pray right now, Father God, that you speak through me, Father God. May your words be spoken through me by your spirit, Father God. And may the word to go forth, may it be bring edification and exhortation and comfort to every hearer that's in the room, to every hearer that's on the website, Father God. And when all is said and all is done and all is accomplished, you'll receive all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You know, one of the things... lately, it seems like I've been speaking a lot on patience. And, you know, and I would say, well, Lord, I've been speaking on patience. And he said, keep speaking on patience because my children are being impatient because they haven't seen what I said I would do. They're trying to do it in their own strength instead of waiting on me. The Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord, that he will renew their strength, okay? And his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So as we're waiting on the promises of God, for all the promises of him are yes and amen, he's calling for us to be patient while we're waiting. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I've had a vision. God gave me a vision for this world and gave me a vision for ministry. And I'm not witnessing what I've seen in the vision. And I'm kind of getting impatient in some areas. And every time I get a little impatient in an area, guess what I have to go through? I have to go through a test. Because the trial of our faith worketh patience, and patience brings us experience, and experience brings us hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Amen. So all the promises of God in Him are yes and amen. Look to the one next to you and say, His promises are yes and amen. You're blessed while you're waiting. You know, we sing that song, Here I am waiting, abide in me, I pray. I'm singing out of key. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your love. Bring me to my knees. I want to see Jesus more and more. Now, aren't you glad that we have singers? Amen. Hallelujah. But don't you know that the Lord says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord? And I don't know about you, if you know me, I'm pretty noisy. I'm pretty loud. Hallelujah. And when I get loud, I'm not mad. I'm just loud. Hallelujah. Amen. So first we're looking at the patience. Look at me in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Solomon, here in Ecclesiastes, he's the preacher. Amen. And he says to you and I, he gives us these words of wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Remember what he said, that pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. So as we're patiently waiting, then he says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. One of the things the Lord was showing me is the devil has a way of painting the past to make things look prettier than they really were. But he shows you that thing that might have been a little prettier, but he doesn't show you them other 10 things that were ugly. Amen. He has a way of making you think that the past was better. There's never been a greater time than in Christ Jesus than today. There's never been an outpouring of the Spirit of God ever before like today. We're in the last days, and His Spirit is poured out upon all flesh. Sons and daughters are prophesying. Young men are seeing visions, and old men are having dreams. Have I? I'm still a visionary. I wonder what that age of cutoff is there between the old man and the young man. Amen? Amen? What is it? 120. Amen. Everybody's young in the room. Look at the one next to you and say, Dusty prophesied that you're young. Praise God. In James chapter 1. You know the devil always wants to mess with your head. You know, when the devil tries to mess with my head, Jesus says, get your Bible and read the red. Amen? Because that's God speaking to you. God Himself. Amen? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. When Jesus is speaking, that's God speaking. Amen? But in James 1, he said this. Verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Has anybody's faith been tried lately? Oh, I guess it's just me. No one else in the room's been tried? Come on now. Amen. God wants us to know that he's speaking to us and he knows what we're going through. He sees every last thing. There's nothing that's going past his attention. And he's speaking this word today to encourage you, to let you know he sees what you're going through and he's going to see you through. Amen. So he says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. So in other words, what we're doing is we're allowing God to be manifested by allowing him to guide us and direct us and not just reacting. We have a natural tendency to flinch. Somebody throws you a swing, you have your natural tendency to throw up an arm or to flinch. And the devil is swinging at you. And we have a natural reaction to react, to flinch, to put up our guards, to fight back. But God says the battle belongs to him. God says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God says, I will fight the battle for you. So cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. In other words, if you could have fought the battle yourself, you wouldn't need him. You could do it on your own. And I can't do it on my own, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. And the key is saying that, Lord, I need you to fight this battle for me, because if I fight it, I'm going to hurt somebody. And probably if I'm going to fight it, I'm going to hurt the wrong person. I'm not going to hurt the devil. I'm going to hurt the person and not the devil. And God says, reminds us, listen to me, church, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If we put a face on it, we lose every time. But against principalities, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness of high places. We're battling with darkness. So he says to you and I in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 35. The word of God says this. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So he says, be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. You know, one of the things he says in that with the patience, this calls also for the persistence. I don't know, but I'm persistently seeking him. I'm persistently praying. I'm persistently reading the word. I'm persistently prophesying. I'm persistently, one of the things the Lord was speaking to our hearts early this morning about is this. He says there's many voices that are in the world, but the voice that you hear most is your own. So be careful what you're saying. Be careful what you think about yourself. Amen. If all of a sudden you don't think highly of yourself, the devil is going to feed that, because you're already speaking it into your being and you're speaking it into your brain. Amen. Look the one next to you and say to them, you have great value. You have great worth. God created you in his image, and he didn't create another one like you. Amen. That makes each and every one of us special. Amen. Take your hand, kiss yourself. Come on. Kiss yourself. If you can't love you, no one else can love you either. Now, I'm not saying get all prideful and whatever, but I'm saying love yourself. Love what God's created in you. Love that you're gifted. Love that you're beautiful. Amen. Love that. Love that about yourself. And that when that love grows inside of you, all of a sudden, it'll be manifested to others. So in this persistence, now, did the Lord say, tell them to kiss themselves? No. Pastor Carl said for y'all to kiss yourselves, okay? Let's understand. That wasn't the Spirit of God. But God says, the Spirit of God says, no harm, no foul. Why? What is he saying to you? If you should love yourself. And stop speaking about what you're not able to do and start feeding what you can do. Amen? I don't know about you, but it's all about a positive attitude. People say, well, you really don't need a positive attitude. Yeah, you do. You know how I got the positive attitude? A positive attitude? Because I've got an attitude of gratitude. I shared the other day that this week, on Monday, I think it was the coldest day of this year so far. And you know I go out and run every morning. So here I am in the freezing cold on Monday. I'm going out and it's freezing. And the first time around, I'm running, but I'm complaining about the cold. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and asked me some questions. He said, do you have energy to run? Are you healthy? And all of a sudden, he says, aren't you grateful? And all of a sudden, when I started giving thanks for what I was able to do, all of a sudden, it wasn't cold any longer. Amen? Amen? In other words, when I wasn't looking at what I didn't have, but I was grateful for what I did have, I wasn't missing what I didn't have that much. But if you're looking all the time at what you don't have and you're not grateful for what you do have, you'll always be in misery. And if you're in misery, then all of a sudden you'll find other people that are in misery because misery loves company. Let's be miserable together. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but the joy of the Lord's my strength. Hallelujah. I'm happy and my face is showing it. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I guess I ought to get to where we're going. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 57, the Apostle Paul said this, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't know. If I'm thankful for the victory that I have in Christ Jesus, all of a sudden I have a winning attitude. All right? You get it? You get it? Then, since I have this winning attitude, this mindset and this heart, then I can put verse 58 to practice. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So when I have a heart of gratitude and I have a heart and attitude knowing that I'm a victor through Christ Jesus, all of a sudden then I can be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that my labor is not in vain. Amen. Sometimes because I don't see the fruit that I want to see, I thought the devil tries to say, oh, you wasted that time. But God says nothing wasted. God says he's taking everything and he's going to turn around and use it for his glory. Amen. I don't know about you, but this nation is going to wake up. But God says first, you know what's going to wake up first before this nation wakes up? The church. Because God, the church is sleeping. The bride of Christ is sleeping. And God's stirring them up, okay? Oh, there's a stirring taking place. Amen. And everybody's going to think you're crazy in the midst of this thing, still going to church. How are you still going to church? Well, the COVID didn't stop anybody from going anyplace else. It doesn't stop you from going to the restaurant. It doesn't stop you from going to the grocery store. It doesn't stop you from going anywhere, okay? So it shouldn't stop anybody from coming to the house of God. Amen? Just saying. Hallelujah. In Galatians chapter 5, the apostle says this. He says, verse number 1, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, our persistence and freedom, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, God's got everything before you. There's nothing behind you. Jesus made it simple. He said, any man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. God's called us to follow him, to seek the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not to our understanding, you know. He's going to guide and direct our paths, okay? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, is what Jesus said. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, are you all with me? The Apostle Peter is reminding him, okay, I just wrote all these wonderful things to you. Now he's going to give the closing argument. Okay? Don't think I'm going in closing yet because I haven't got there yet. But, hallelujah. But he says this in verse 17. He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. How do I keep from doing this? I grow in grace. What is grace? Grace is the unmerited favor God had for me and you, and grace is the unmerited favor we have for others. We don't love them just because they deserve to be loved. The world loves people that deserve to be loved. God says a child of God's love is loving them when they don't deserve it. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So he's saying to us that, hey, he's calling for us to be patient, to wait upon him. But in this waiting, we're still to be persistent. We're still moving forward. We sing songs, but we're to put our songs to work and place them in action. No looking back, I'm moving ahead. Moving forward, amen? Is anybody moving forward with me? Amen? Does anybody know and recognize and have revelation that in the time our nation and our things our nation and world are facing right now, God has anointed and appointed you to have the answer for every circumstance and every situation through the power of God and through the Holy Spirit? That God's called us to be ministers in this time to usher in his return. Amen? You know? That's what he says, you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who at one time were not a people, but now are the people of God, who at one time had not obtained mercy, but now you've obtained mercy. So he says, as we're patiently waiting and we're in this season, that we're to be persistently moving ahead, to be steadfast, unmovable. And then we will prosper. Then comes the prosperity. One of the things the Lord was speaking to my heart about, if you look in Psalms 37, the psalmist says this. It's so important that we get a hold of this. And Psalms 37, 7, rest in the Lord. Stop right there. What are we resting in? We're resting in the finished work of Calvary. Jesus said when it was finished, it was done. So everything that we're looking for and expecting and looking for God to provide has already been taken care of. Now it takes our faith to believe. Faith is the substance of things that we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he says, rest in the Lord. We're resting in the finished work. And wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. In other words, we're in this world, we're not of this world. Then he says this, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Well, here's anger. Anger is when I get mad. Wrath is when I react. In other words, if I don't follow God and his commandments, I'm going to face the wrath of God. He's going to respond. Amen? In other words, so the word is telling us, hey, cease from anger and forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Word do-gooders. And as we're doing gooders, God said we could do better. We could do better at doing gooder. Amen. We're not to render evil for evil. We're to bless them that persecute us and despitefully use us for his name's sake, for great is our reward. And they're the words from Jesus. That's God speaking, okay? Amen. So as we're looking to prosper, I love what the John says in 3 John, verse number 2. We're talking about the prospering, the prosperity. He says, beloved, verse 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Jesus, God's word says, all souls are mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. In other words, as our soul prospers, everything else prospers in our body. Our mind, body, soul, and spirit prosper when we're in Christ Jesus. Then he says to him, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. In other words, there's a lot of error that's being spoken. Let me say something. Every prophet that is speaking and it doesn't align with God's word and isn't coming to pass is a false prophet. And there's many false prophets in the day that we're living in right now. There's many things. There's one thing, and I'll say it again. We can say, hey, I feel this, or I sense this, but when I say, thus saith the Lord, I better make sure, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the adversary is the author of confusion, and where confusion is, there's every evil work, and the adversary is trying to confuse the body of Christ. Amen. So Jesus says, hey, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'll never go outside of my word. If it doesn't align with my word, it's not me. So he says to us in Isaiah chapter 25, and I'm talking about the prosperity. In verse number 9, the prophet Isaiah said, in that, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. So in closing today, what is the Lord saying to us through his word today? He's saying he's at the door for us to be patient. And in this patience, to be persistent, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. He isn't asking the church to sit and wait. There's a harvest of souls. This is the harvest season. This is the time of the latter rain. This is the time when he's going to bring in an end time harvest of souls. So he wants us to be patient, but to be persistent. And in this persistence, we will prosper, but not only prosper, will receive the prize. You know, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, he uses an illustration and a parallel with a sporting event. And God wants us to know this is a team effort. That it's just not us crossing the finish line, but we want to help others come across with us. And the Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." He said, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You know, the Apostle Paul was always saying, "Follow me as I follow Christ." God wants us to study, to show ourselves approved workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing his word of truth. And God is saying to us today, in this time that we're going through, in the nation and the world, God says for us to be patient and wait for him. God says for us to be persistent. This is the time to expand the kingdom. He isn't narrowing it. He's expanded. You know, sometimes something has to be shrunk to grow. Sometimes God moves some things out of the way so something else could happen. Hello? Then we have the prosperity. "I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." As we're growing and we're ministering to others, we receive a prize. Not only did we receive it, we received the crown of righteousness. Amen? And there's rewards. I heard a pastor, preacher one time, he had this message and he spoke about a chest. And in this chest was all these, filled with all the works that he had done. But when the chest was opened, there was smoke that came out of it, and there was only a couple things that were left. He said, "Well, Lord, what happened to all those things?" He said, "Those things were the things you did to benefit you and not to benefit others and to benefit me." God wants us to understand that the gifts and abilities that he's given us is not just to benefit us, but it's the benefit of others. God gave you something that he didn't give to anyone else, and you have something that others need, and they have something that you need. That's what makes us a body, man. We need one another. But as we bring, in this last day, God's going to bring all kinds of things going to happen, take place. Don't judge people by what they look like. Don't judge people for what they're into. God reminds me never to forget where he found me. All right? He found me in my closet with a crack pipe in my hand. But what did God do? God took that thing that the enemy meant for evil and turned around and used it for his glory. Hello? God wants you to know how valuable and how important you are today. And in the midst of this time, that we're to be patiently waiting for him, but in this patience, we're to have persistence. And this persistence, we're going to prosper. And as we prosper, there's a heavenly prize that's coming. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the time we're in. Amen. Amen. I've read the end of the book. You read the end of the book? You know, when I used to read books, I would always read the end to see what happens, and then I would get excited about reading the story. I was a book cheater. Praise God. And maybe you're here today and you're not in the place you need to be. God loves you right where you're at. He loves you so much he won't leave you there. He'll take you from glory to glory, even by his Spirit. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we're so grateful, Father, for your word. We're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it here to do. Maybe you're here today and you do not know Jesus, or you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe one time you did, but you drifted away. You're not the place you need to be. If that is you, would you slip up your hand and say, I need Jesus? Is there anybody at all? Don't worry about what anybody thinks. I see that hand. Is there another one here today? Pastor, I need a fresh encounter with Jesus. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. Is there another one here today? Don't fight it. He loves you so much. I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another here today? I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another here today? I believe the Lord's just, he's loving on us today. So we're going to do something corporately today. Can you all just stand with me? If you can sit if you need to, honey. I speak to that need in Jesus' name. Can you lift your hands to heaven? Let me pray for you first. Father, I thank you for each and every one that's gathered here today. You see every heart and every life. You know what each and every one of us is facing, Father God. Your word declares that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against them. And the standard was raised on the cross of Calvary. So today we're going to corporately ask you to do something in our hearts and lives. Can we pray this together? Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for what you did on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Father God, for forgiving me my sins. Lord, forgive me for those things that I did that were not pleasing to you. Father, I lay them down at the cross of Calvary. Now, Father, I pray that you give me strength not to pick up what I lay down, but that I would be strengthened by your power and by your might. Holy Ghost, have your way in my life. Stir up every gift within me. May I run this race with patience, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.